So we've divided this conscious love thing into three kind of topics. Tonight is about falling in love. So if you're ready to fall in love, or you are falling in love, then tonight's good. If you decided you've fallen out of love, then you might want to come
tonight's
tomorrow.
Tonight's also good.
Because tomorrow is about living in relationship. And then if you find that
what do we do after,
you know,
the honeymoon's over kind
of
thing?
Well, you know, and that, and then, you know, go, okay, so the romance phase may have moved on, and or at least not as strong as it was, and you've kind of worked out some of the parameters of living together, but what's the next step? Growing in relationship. So these are the, Sunday will be growing in relationship, tomorrow will be living in relationship, and so we'll probably only see you for this class, which is falling in love, because that's where y'all want to stop, right? Just, okay, in love, finished.
And but we'll talk about that too today, why we wanted to just go on. But we'll start with that, you know, it's a universal truth that everybody wants a good relationship.
Yeah.
Right?
Anybody not want a
good one? Nobody thinks, like, I want a really bad relationship. Where am I going to find the right person to have a really bad relationship?
Nobody wants a bad one. It's that fantastically wonderful and terribly miserable again. All in favor of a fantastically wonderful relationship? All in favor of a terribly miserable relationship? No? All right. At least, you know, there's wisdom here, right?
There's wisdom. There's an innate wisdom here.
Give me the good one.
Nonetheless, even though we're so motivated to have good relationships, they don't necessarily turn out that way, or depending on the day, they don't necessarily feel that way, or we're not quite sure, did I accidentally get into a bad one, right? Or I'm not sure if this is a good one.
Well,
or
and even when you are in one, sometimes it's good, yeah?
And sometimes, yeah, and sometimes the good ones are really bad.
Sometimes not so good?
Yeah, that's true.
Today, I love my partner, right? Tomorrow afternoon, what is with this person? What am I doing here? And you recognize that they can go back and forth within a day, right? You can go in love and out of love and back into love within hours. Minutes.
One moment to the next.
Moment to moment.
Sometimes.
So what makes
a
good relationship?
Can be a little disconcerting.
What makes a bad relationship? What makes a good relationship? Seems kind of complicated, doesn't it? So you should be taking courses at university, or you should be going to therapy for 30 years, or you do some sort of encounter group. And, you know, and I know people have done all of these for 30 years, and they're still in love at noon, and in divorce at supper, and back in love by breakfast. So they go around and around.
Around and around.
Around and around.
Yeah. So so why is this? Why can we feel so in love one moment and so kind of ambivalent maybe another moment, or not sure, and then even feel, you know, kind of the opposite of in love? Doesn't sound quite as nice to say I'm in hate. I'm in hate at the moment.
But
it does,
times,
it does happen.
Right? There are times when you think you actually hate your partner?
Yeah, it's just part of being human. Maybe some people are too young to know that yet.
Mm-hmm. So, or maybe you just pretend
you're forewarned,
you're not in hate.
Right?
I don't hate you, I'm just really, really angry at you. Which unfortunately doesn't really equal love. It equals anger, and anger is a form of hate. So in the moment, you may love them overall, but in the moment, I'm ready to kill you.
That's classical Buddhist teaching, by the way. I just wanted to flag that. That in classic Buddha Dharma texts, anger is considered a form of hate. And if those words sound too strong, just think of it as a kind of analysis of human feelings. You know, if you kind of sort emotions into categories, then anger would fall under the hate category.
It's kind of love, hate, kind of easy dividing line. Of course, most of the time we're teetering through the middle. You know, kind of pleasantly disposed and kind of unpleasantly disposed to being with our particular partner at the time. Or even doesn't have to be a romantic relationship, it can just be a friendship or a partnership. So what happens when you're in love? Endorphins.
Anybody?
Flooding through your system.
Oxytocin.
Oxytocin, endorphins, yay. get that dopamine hit, right? You're kind of on the, everything's good. Dopamine, endorphin,
oxytocin. Any other adjectives come to mind?
Blissful.
When you think of when you're feeling in love? Timeless.
Timeless.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Spaceless. There's no other space but that. Time and space.
You ever notice like that the person you're in love with is perfect, right? But also the whole universe is perfect too? Isn't that kind of amazing?
It's amazing how totally wonderful the universe is on a good day. And they've written a song about that that we can all sing along to. Mitch Miller, if you're old enough, you're probably not. When you're smiling.
When you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you.
All right.
We'll do the rest later.
Yeah.
and when we're feeling in love, okay, the other person's perfect, the universe is perfect, and we feel perfect too. Like, oh, I'm in love, I don't have any problems. Like, that's kind of magical.
And when we're out of love, the cortisone, the cortisol, they all kick in, right? And now we feel cramped, isolated,
stress,
alone,
hormones,
separated, anxious, divided, unconnected, disconnected, separated, right? So, like, what happened? Where did these come from? They only arise when we fall in love or fall out of love. No, no, they have a root. They have it's a pre-existing condition.
Right, because we notice, too, that these same feelings and experiences arise even when we're not falling in love, mm-hmm. right, or falling out of love. They do arise at other times, too.
So
they just arise so reliably in those situations.
And they're so obvious. But we feel these things in and out of the day all the time. When we're getting a hit, we're up. And when we're getting the opposite hit, we're down. And these things are built and conditioned from the womb, from the time when we're in the womb, before we're even born, in those 9 months in the womb. And the first stage of the womb, which is for most of the 9 months from when you're conceived until the baby turns, contractions set in and the turning happens, that whole 9 months is mostly first stage bliss. So when we're in first stage bliss in the womb, right, we're also in first stage bliss when we're in love.
So we just made a bit of a leap there. Does everybody follow that? We started talking about the womb experience, and we divide that up into four stages, right? First stage is first 9 months until the contractions start, basically.
And when we fall out of love, we go to third stage. And third stage is after the contractions.
Contractions are second stage.
Second stage. And the third stage is the birth canal, from when the baby turns to when it crowns or until the baby's born, delivery. Delivery is the fourth stage. Right? So when we're in love, we're in first stage experience, womb experience. And when we're out of love, we're in third stage womb experience.
Right, so first stage, no separation between ourselves and mother, so complete union experience. And it's even bigger than that. There's no separation between us and anything because we don't have any concept of mother or self. So we're just in this amazing state of union with the cosmos during those 9 months. We're floating. It's primarily pleasant. What would you say, like 98%?
Yeah.
Pleasant, except for the odd
odd interruption,
you know, pickle or something, right? Or
if mom's had a fight with dad, you get that chemical wash from the mother's
with exceptions,
chemistry.
Right? But generally speaking, needs are looked after 24/7 the whole time.
You've seen 2001 Space Odyssey, the scene where the baby's floating in space, right, just at the end mm-hmm. of the movie, 2001. Great image of first stage bliss.
The ultimate kind of cozy, cuddly feeling, right? Optimal temperature.
We'd like to kind of stay in first stage all the time if we could.
It just occurred to me that cuddles are, like spooning is an attempt to recreate the womb experience.
Kind of like that. So first stage is all nice. We like first stage. We just want to stay there. Everybody all right? Just stay there? Okay, class is over. But along comes the interruptions. The interruptions to the womb are second stage onset of contractions. The baby doesn't know what's happened, but it's disturbing its status quo. It's disturbing its walk,
this
its
amazing
harmony.
Feeling of union all of a sudden is like, whoa, what was that?
Of course, this happens to us in our daily life as well. We come along. What happens when we get interrupted? What do we try to do? Scramble back to first. So whenever we're interrupted, when any... whenever anything happens in our life to kind of disturb our well, we try to get back to bliss. And we have our ways of doing that, which we're not going to go into here. That's a different class. We drink. We watch too much TV. We party too much. We eat too much. We fornicate too much. We shop too much. We gamble
exercise.
Too much. Exercise too much. So this is an attempt to get back to first stage.
Get back to the bliss.
Now, when we get into our relationship and we get interrupted, you know, he didn't do what he was supposed to do, or he did what he wasn't supposed to do, or she didn't do, etc. Right? When the partner isn't behaving in a way that makes us feel first stage, we're then in second stage. We're interrupted. Our situation is contrasted, and that makes us feel. Interruptions make you feel nervous, annoyed, bugged, frustrated. So what do? We try as much as we can to run back to first. The problem is it doesn't solve the process of liberation, because the process of liberation is mentioned in the fourth stage of the womb, which was called delivery.
The birth.
Hear the word, deliverance, delivery. You're out, you're through, you completed the journey, you have been delivered. You could just substitute the word awakening there. You've awakened to a new world. You've awakened from the womb into life.
Out of the struggle.
Right.
Into a new kind of space.
So when we get into fights with our partners, we have gone to third stage. We've gone to the birth canal. It's violent. It's aggressive. It's suffocating. It's strangling. It's stretching. It's ripping. It's dying. Babies die in the womb.
Yeah, because remember, like, the baby doesn't know what's happening.
No idea.
It's in this amazing, blissful state, and now all of a sudden, you know, its skull is getting squeezed, right? And everything, and the contractions are continuing, and the baby doesn't know that there's an end. The mother knows that there's an end to it, but the baby doesn't, right? So just imagine all of the anxiety that's arising in that kind of a situation. And that's what we feel like when we're in a fight with our partners, right?
It's kind violence, of feels like it's disruptive.
It's terrible, and it's going to be terrible forever.
And it's not going to end. This fight is going to last forever.
My life is over.
Our relationship is finished. We're out of here. I'm done. So we run. But there's no real delivery from that cycle unless you move to the deliverance. And this is where conscious love or a conscious relationship becomes important. You need to identify what stage you're in your womb experience, when you're in your relationship, going through these things in relationship. So when you're in relationship and everything's going well, you go, oh, this is mirroring the first stage of the womb, right? When something happens in the relationship that causes disruption or interruption, relatively mild, you're in second stage of the womb, right? When the relationship gets into a fight or a battle or a war or just harsh words or bad looks, you know, that hunker down thing, you're in the third stage of the womb. So what happens after a fight?
We just had this happen the other night. We were trying to drive to dinner, and there was an accident, so there was a traffic jam, and then the map didn't show the one-way streets, and then the parking lot was full, and
we're trying to get to bed early because we were flying the next morning.
We were trying to get to bed early, and then we went to the restaurant that I had picked, and he didn't like it, and So classic, just typical relationship stuff. So we're both really crabby, right? And he says, "So how are you doing?" And that's just the way it is. Like an experience, an evening like that, an hour or two of that will make you crabby, right? Like we're not superhuman or anything. And he says, "How are you feeling?" And I was like, "That was so second stage." Just like. Constant contractions, and I was just, you know, dying for it to be over.
I was driving in a foreign country on a highway I didn't know, navigating streets I didn't know. I would probably put it at more third stage. Right? But you name it, you label it, you're free of it. This is the key bit. The reason we can't do it in our relationships is because we think it's about the person.
And I was so proud of myself that I didn't make it about, you know, oh, why didn't you turn when I told you to turn, or whatever, which is the easiest thing to do.
Yeah, because right? When you're in a bad mood, you want to dump it, right? And that's what we do. When we're in bad moods, we dump it on our partner. And if we get rid of that partner, we get a new partner. And curiously, somehow the bad moods don't go away. My brother was married 3 times, and I said, so what did you not learn? And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, you've had three relationships. None of them really worked for long. So what is it that you were supposed to learn that you did? Oh, no, nothing. No, they were not good women. Dismissed. Not going to grow much that way, are you? So the purpose of the fight is to resolve an unrecognized failure in communication. Because that's exactly what happens when we lose communication with ourselves. When we lose communication with ourselves in terms of what stage we're in, we lose communication with our partner to be able to say, oh, this is third stage, we're in a third stage battle because we've lost the bliss and we've been interrupted. And now our frustration or irritation with the interruption is causing us to fight, right? And it's your fault. You did that, or you triggered that, or you said that. I'm the innocent, I'm the baby, I'm the first stage baby. I didn't do anything to interrupt first stage, right? Life interrupted me. I didn't do anything to get disturbed, right? I didn't do anything to be born. I didn't choose to go down that birth canal. Well, never leave that aside. And now I'm going through this like life and death struggle through no participation of my own intent. So when you get into a fight, your relationship, you kind of, well, there's no, I had no intention to be in a fight tonight. I had no intention to do this. It must be you.
To which the other person says, yes, you must be right.
Yes. You've had this one, right? You're fighting with your partner and you say, you're screwed up. And he goes, yes,
thank you're right. For pointing that
Thanks
out
for
to
pointing
me.
That out. That happened often in your
You can try that sometime. Actually, humor really works a lot. Even irony, right?
We get what we want in first stage. We don't get what we want, or we get what we don't want in second and third. Right? So whenever we don't get what we want, or whenever we get what we don't want, we know we're either in second if it's a mild bug, or we're in third if we're ready to pull teeth. When we get what we want, it's first. So where do you spend most of your time in the day? Yeah, most of your time in the day is spent at first. You might not identify first stage as super blissful, but it's content. And you spend most of your day...
It's like generally fine.
You spend most of your day generally fine, which is why it's so very hard to get people to do the spiritual work. Because most of their day is first stage. And they keep thinking, I can get through life avoiding second, and I can get through life avoiding third. Did you get born by doing that? No, you are not ever going to avoid having to go through second and third stages regularly throughout your life, no matter how well you've got it planned, controlled, and managed.
Yeah, like we like to say, no breakdown, no breakthrough. So the breakdowns don't feel so fun, but they're a very vital component to breakthrough. It's kind of the fuel for the fire, you could say.
So when we can go in and out of these stages consciously, we often do that more than once in a day. When we can go in and out of them consciously and be aware of the process that's going on, we don't make the misassociation or the misidentification with the state with the other person. They're only the trigger. They're only the mirror to the process. Then we can come out of second stage interruption just by acknowledging it. Yeah, frustration's arising. Or we can, if it goes into third, we can say, okay, this is third stage war, right? And there is a delivery. So what did you do to get through to fourth stage delivery when you were in third stage process? Or what did you not do?
Resist.
Sorry?
Resist.
Well, you fought. You fought for life. So no, you're fighting for your life in third stage.
I think it means you didn't try to stay where you were.
You didn't try
to hang on.
You didn't get back.
Well, in fact, that's what you did try to do. You tried to get back to first.
You would have if you could have, but you couldn't, could you?
So what
you... like the fingernails. No.
So what you try to do, what we all try to do, this is human. What we try to do is we try to get back to first stage, which means what? Let's say you could do it. You're in third stage, you don't like it, you get back to first, what happens?
What does not happen then?
You never get born. There's no freedom. You don't get delivered from that experience because you just keep repeating the cycle. There's no avoiding third stage if you want to wake up. And
right.
Every time you meet something that is outside your comfort zone, you are automatically moving into, help me out here, second. And because it's unfamiliar and because it's not in your comfort zone, it ends up often being third. And as soon as you get anywhere near that shit, you run back to first and you don't liberate the process. And so that pattern goes around and around. And in Buddhist terms, this is called dukkha.
Or suffering. Suffering,
or struggle, or frustration, or irritation, or anxiety, or worry.
Or samsara. You've probably heard of the cycle of samsara. So this is the cycle, right? And the deliverance, the breakthrough, is getting off the cycle, getting out of samsara, getting deliverance. Right? And we have to fight for that, like the baby fought to be born. And another important point I want to highlight that Doug Sensei mentioned is we are going through all of these stages as like micro stages all day long.
In and out,
and,
all day.
And, you know, at certain times some will be more prominent than others, but we're constantly repeating because it's in our muscle memory, right? So this is what the organism is just, it's in there. It's just going through it all the time.
In a 7-day cycle, you go through the entire womb history experience cellularly, chemically, and physiologically. In a 7-day period, you go through the whole 9 months every 7 days. The cycle repeats every 7 days you go through it. If you could go through those 7 days without a single conflicting thought or emotion about it and just see it cold turkey as it was what it is, a process, you'd be awakened by the end of the week. It's not hard to awaken. It's only difficult to stay asleep. And we stay asleep because, not to repeat myself again, but we stay asleep. Why? Because we're trying to get back to first. We're trying to live in first. We're trying to have life only be first. We only want first. We don't want anything to do with the other parts of the process. And therefore, relationships are always going to end up in this cycle. So Buddhists call it dukkha, suffering, struggle, right? But the first thing that breaks down, the first thing that breaks down in struggle is communication. You're no longer in communication with yourself, and therefore you can't possibly be in communication with your partner. When we're in love, we think we speak the same language because you're speaking the language of endorphins, dopamine, and oxytocin.
Right? All of those are nonverbal, right?
Who needs words?
Right, the words are really not hardly even registering.
Yeah. Like,
when we're in that state,
you're having dopamine, oxytocin, and endorphins are coursing through your body. What do you think? I don't care. Who cares? When you're in first stage, you have the sense that the communication is perfect, right? But when you're in second and third stage, the communication breaks down because the chemistry's broken down, and you're in second stage. You're strangers. You ever had that relationship with your partner when you think, "Who is this person?" Second stage. And when you're in third stage and having to fight, you're foreigners. Not only do you not speak the same language, you don't speak English, right? So when you're in second stage, she's a woman, you're a man, right? Well, women,
definitely
men,
from
men,
different
men,
planets.
Or if you're lesbian or homosexual, just fill in the blank, right? And then in third stage, it's like, this person speaks Swahili. This person's from Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. There's no contact here with this creature, right? Because the communication.
I think it's called irreconcilable differences. Right. Yeah. Very, very human, which is why it's important to bring a sense of humor to it, right? Because we all go through it. These are all very universal experiences. And part of the problem is that when we hit a crisis, we feel so alone. And we feel like, you know, this is happening to me, right? And nobody understands. So it's important to be able to see the tragedy in that, but also the humor in it too.
So what are we looking for in life? We think we're looking for first stage bliss. But actually what we're looking for is delivery.
Fourth stage.
We're looking for the delivery from the cycle of becoming, four stages, that delivery. We're delivered from the womb, from a very small, tight, contained womb to a very large, vast, cosmic womb. And the degrees of freedom are exponentially different. So when we're talking about awakening, we're talking about deliverance, the fourth stage. Right? And there's no delivery without going through that cycle. And you have to go through the cycle consciously and be willing to go through the cycle repetitively throughout your life as part of the process. And every time you go through it consciously, there's a deliverance, there's a freedom, there's a relaxation. But our egos only want to stay in first.
Only once, stage one?
Only want to stay in first.
Yeah. So I'm sure you've heard the first ennobling truth, which is life is struggle, right? And this is what that's referring to, is that this never ceases. This first stage getting interrupted by second stage, going into kind of crisis of third stage. And if we do it well, if we learn from it, if we get good at struggle, then we proceed to the deliverance, right? And that's going on and on and on.
You think about a creative act like writing a book or dancing or making music or cooking or whatever. There's a struggle in that process. Right? There's a struggle to create. There's a struggle to produce. That's also third stage. So even if you're not in relationship, you go through it in terms of your career, or you go through it in terms of your friendships, or you go through it in terms of your family associations, etc. But the argument that we make is that what you're really seeking is deliverance from being subject to the cycle, that you get played like a piano, like a player piano through this thing. And you have the freedom now to go through it with, like Catherine said, humor and joy, and like entertainment, like our third stage, second stage driving experience. Hmm? It's, yeah, this is third stage. It's what a zoo. You're free now. You're free from the drugs, because once you've made it conscious, the drugs kick out. They find their balance. It's not the big hit.
Right. So, and it's an interactive experience, right? With this process, we can regulate our own hormones, right? So we're not just happening, it's not just happening to us when we happen to fall in love or happen to really like someone, but we can say, oh, I'm feeling kind of stage two here, and I don't really need to feel that way, so why don't I just breathe a little bit? And then we can, you know, invite some oxygen and with it some dopamine back into our system.
And be in first. But we can also go the other way. We can say, no, I'm going to go. I'm interested. I want to know what this is about. I'm going to dive into this challenge. I'm going to dive into this problem. I'm going to wrestle with this event, right? And which you will do in any relationship that lasts any amount of time. And you're okay. Let's fight for it. Let's fight for the delivery. Let's fight for the realization. And every realization, whether we acknowledge it or not, every insight or realization we've had in our whole life is followed on the ends of a struggle. We've had to work for it in some fashion or other. And so people will also use substitutes, and probably everybody will use substitutes. When the relationship isn't working, we're having a third stage issue, we tend to go to something else that will give us the first stage. We'll go to the studio, or we'll go to the TV, or we'll go to the fridge, or we'll go for a walk, and we'll try to extricate ourselves from the struggle, and so we never resolve that thing. Now, the thing is to make it conscious love, both people got to be playing. It's not an easy thing to do. If one person's playing for the realization and the other person's just playing to keep stuff in first stage, the cycle is just going to continue. So conscious relationship means choosing a partner who is willing to go through the process.
And making that explicit.
And making that explicit.
Right. Because when we've got all those endorphins going on, like, oh, we feel so open to everything, right? And it's good to kind of clarify these things. You know, this is important to me in my relationship. And see whether it's important to them too.
Now, the extra little bit of information in this one is that even if you're not in a partnership, even if you're not in a relationship, you're going to go through the cycle anyway. So it's not like getting rid of your partner is going to get rid of the cycle.
It feels so nice that way sometimes, we know.
Too bad. So it's not like, oh, I'll be alone, I'll be a celibate, or I'll just put myself into my work. You're still going to go through the same cycle, right? And so our process of deliverance is by making the process conscious, then you can use it consciously for creativity. So for instance, right now I'm involved in writing a book, Catherine and I are involved in writing a book, and it's writing's a struggle, right? And there's days I just don't feel like doing it. It'd be days where I'd go back to, okay, I'm going back to first stage, I need a bit of a rest. But if I keep that cycle going forever, I'll never get the book written, right? So there's days where I just gotta, and today's the day I'm gonna sit down, I'm gonna really work at this, and oh, I hear a free cell game calling me. It's just right there next to the book.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we all do this. This is very human.
When we talk about, like, when
Second
the sensei
stage.
Said, what did you say? Lean into the struggle or dive into the struggle to understand it, right? And I said, get good at struggle. I just want to clarify, this is very different from, this is not masochism, right? This is not kind of bringing on more suffering than necessary. This is a kind of healthy exploration so that we can suffer less, right? I just want to clarify that because especially, I was raised Catholic, and I know that there is some cultures, we do have a background of conditioning, like if you feel worse, that's good, you know, and this is not about that.
Catherine makes a very important point here. Going through the cycle unconsciously is masochism. Going through the cycle consciously is liberation. They're quite different. If you just keep going through the same cycle and you're not learning from it, that's masochistic. If you go through the cycle and learn from it, right, then the transcendence. So the
and
relationship.
And if you're not sure which, ask your friends. I don't know why it is. It's like so obvious to everybody else, right?
Why do I keep having this fight with
ourselves?
It's person?
Like, what? Really? It's like, I've been telling you this for 10 years, right?
And again, remember, you don't need to be in a relationship to do this. You can be doing this as a single person at your workplace or with your family or your children. Right? It doesn't end simply because you're not going to bed with somebody.